Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Galatians chapter 5, verses 16 through 24. The Reverend Robert Zagor is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Galatians chapter 5. St. Paul the Apostle writes, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing what the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. This is the word of the Lord." In our Galatians 5 reading today, St. Paul is wrapping up his testimony to the Galatians about why it's wrong to slip out of the freedom of the gospel into the harsh legacy of the law, that which has killed and trampled souls for generations on purpose, because that's what it was designed to do. You can't make the law the way that you get saved. You can't make the law the way that you feel better about life. You can't make the law the thing that drives you, because it will drive you into a hole so deep you won't be able to get out. On the other hand, you also can't let your flesh be the thing that drives you, so that you think that by pursuing pleasures one way or another, you're going to feel better in the end. Now, I'm going to do something that I usually don't do, is I'm going to harshly criticize the way that most translations deal with this. You're always told in the parish and in seminaries, don't be hypercritical of translations, because that's all that a lot of lay people have access to, and if you make them doubt what they're reading, then they're not going to read the Bible at all, and that's the last thing that you want to do. But I really do believe that building on the efforts of the Puritans and generations of Bible translations, people have misrepresented what Paul is saying here in this Galatians 5 reading to the point that you no longer understand it. This is about sticking with the Spirit, they say, and avoiding the things of the flesh. An anti-incarnational statement, if anything. It leads you to the conclusion that God doesn't like what He created. He loves what He created. He became what He created. What He doesn't love is sin. And what He doesn't love is what our sinful natures have turned us into. You take the first line here translated in the ESV, "But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." But you see, that word gratify isn't at all what the Greek behind it says. The Greek word is teleion, and it's nowhere else in the entire Scripture do they even conceive of translating that gratify. That's the word that Jesus uses to say it is finished. That's a word which means conclusion. And what it's saying to you is, if you try to gratify the flesh, there's only one way that it's going to end. And that's predictable. So many times in the parish, people would come to me and say, "I don't know how it'll turn out, but I know that it's what I feel I should do." And I'd say, "I know how it's going to turn out. I know exactly how it's going to turn out. I had one man brag about his adultery," and I never tell a story without permission to use the person's, or from the person, to use their part of life as a story, even though I don't identify people. He told me how joyful he was in his adultery, how good it made him feel, and how much better it was to be in that than with his wife. And he looked at me and he said, "Are you getting excited?" I said, "No, you're breaking my heart, because I know how this will end." He came back to me about a year later and he said, "Why didn't I listen?" We know how it ends. And that's the problem. It isn't that you're fighting against the flesh because somehow or another there's a higher moral principle to which you'll attain, and if you simply do this, it's going to turn out better. It's that there's only one way that following the flesh is going to end up, and it's going to end up with you destroyed and the people around you destroyed. You can't do it that way. And that's the problem with the way that we argue so much of morality. You say, "Oh, well, at least I'm forgiven." And you are, but that's not the point. The point is, where does this go? Where does this lead? Because it's inevitable. Paul actually plays a couple of games with the Greek. He says, "You won't gratify the desires, and it will keep you from doing what you want." He actually makes sort of the Greek version of a rhyme there. Not only will it keep you from doing what you want, but maybe the better way of translating that is, you'll never get to where you hoped. See, here's the problem with our flesh. He goes on to describe it. We tend to rattle back and forth between our mind and our bodies. Our mind is orderly, it's logical, it realizes how things work, and our bodies are all about satisfaction and pleasure. And our minds keep saying, "Don't do that, don't do that, it's not good for you." And our bodies keep saying, "But I'm being suppressed, I'm not getting what I want, I'm not able to do what I want, I'm not able to please myself, I'm not feeling good." And the mind says, "Stop it, stop it." The mind speaks the harshest of laws to our bodies, which is why we end up binge eating and going off and binge drinking and doing all those other things that Paul says are the result of this battle in your body. Haven't you noticed that you can be good for most of the hours of the day in terms of what your mind tells your body it should be doing, and then right before you go to bed, it just explodes and blows up? Certainly everybody who's ever been on a diet realizes that. It's because there is no way that that can turn out well. Because you weren't built for that. And yet that's the way that most people try to live their lives, this constant battle between mind and body, and we roll it into morality, and somehow or another we think that that becomes spirituality. And if you see these things, sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, fits of rage, rivalries, dissensions, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like, you can be pretty sure that you're in the middle of losing that battle. There's only one way it turns out, and it always turns out badly. Paul begins the chapter with, "For freedom, Christ has set you free. Stand fast, therefore, and don't submit again to a yoke of slavery. You haven't just been given a better solution or a better way of going. You've been pulled out of it altogether. You don't have to punish your body for what it's done to you. You don't have to listen to your mind beating you senseless because of your failures or your faults. Because God, through His Holy Spirit, speaks a better word. You are my child. Today I have begotten you. I have drawn you with cords of love. Can a mother forget her nursing child? Can she forget it even while it suckles her breast? These will forget long before I'll forget you. I've graven you in the palms of my hand. My walls are ever before you. Those will rise and say of her who stands before them this day, she was born of Zion. And on, the accolades, the wonderful statements, the beautiful love songs go on. These are the things that we should be hearing instead of our minds telling us how we've failed in our bodies and how we've failed in our lives and how we've failed in our souls and how life should be better and this is the way out. You have a better word which has been spoken. Not better because it's more successful. Better because it's true and the others are lies. That word speaks of a child of God who was set in this world for a purpose, for meaning, for love, for joy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Over and over again, he tells you who you are. Why do we listen to that which says we're not? Why do we stay up nights and worry about things that the Lord has said are not about you? And yet we battle within our spirits. Paul is here to set the Galatians and us free. Hear who you are, what you've been made to be, and what your mission really is. Hear who you are, a beloved, forgiven, desperately loved child that the Father wants in his house forever. And don't think that that relieves us of things that we get to do this in this life before we enter the Father's heavenly kingdom. No, it frees us to do them. We don't do them on the basis of man's judgment of right and wrong and whether we fit in or whether we're good enough or whether we can meet their grade or their aspirations or their acclamations. They love to give awards and they love to give punishments because it makes people conform to what their hopes are. But our Lord, he gives a son instead. If you want to know the value of what your everyday brings, if you want to know the purpose for which you woke up this morning, remember that this day began because the Lord has given his Son for you. This day began because the Lord sent you out as a dearly loved member of his family so that those around you can know that the Lord has given his Son for you and for them. This day began because the Lord loved you and gave it to you. This is the day which the Lord has made, we said at the start of the service. And we, like great Lutherans, said, let us rejoice and be glad in it. I almost stopped and said, can't you really just say it like you believe it? We're going out on the internet. It is. You can't rejoice in it and be glad in it if all you're doing is looking at you. But you can if you look at the one who called you into this day, who declares who you are and what you are, a beloved child, son of God, a daughter of Zion, His eternal beloved. Forgiven, renewed, restored, filled with love, joy, peace. No, a forgotten list. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And these are how God's love finishes up in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. Today we pray for a chaplain, Joseph Seifert, who is deployed. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.